TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Chernobyl, Fukushima, and Onkolo. This program is about two numbers, 100 and 800,000. In Finland, the first storage site for irradiated or spent fuel from nuclear power plants is being built into the bedrock at Onkolo. And the site is engineered, they say, to contain the radiation for 100,000 years. Leaving aside the mind-bending challenge that humanity has never built anything that lasted even a fraction of that time, the reality is that this irradiated fuel remains dangerous to life for at least 100,000 years. At Fukushima, that deadly fuel lies littered among the ruins of the exploded reactor buildings. The other number, 800,000, is the number of human beings who were working on the cleanup of the Chernobyl reactor. They were the liquidators who contained the fires, gathered up the nuclear fuel, buried whole forests and villages, and you will hear from one of them in this program. Natalia Manzurova is a radiation ecology expert, and for almost 5 years she worked in a lab in the abandoned town of Pripyat, 2 miles from Chernobyl. She had been an engineer at another nuclear facility in Russia and was ordered to the site of the accident. She saw several of her colleagues die and is ill herself. Her own tenure at Chernobyl was comparatively long. Those who handled the nuclear reactor fuel directly, among them soldiers and prisoners, were made to work for as little as 1 minute. That's why so many hundreds of thousands were needed. At Chernobyl, it soon became clear that no robots or machines were able to handle the reactor fuel because they too were damaged by the radiation. The exclusion zone around Chernobyl today is littered with machines that have become so radioactive that they also can't be approached. Now, if it took 800,000 human beings to clean up Chernobyl, how many will be needed to clean up Fukushima, that by some estimates contains at least 5, maybe 10 times the amount of radioactive fuel? 4 million? Or even 8 million human beings? Natalia Manzurova and 2 colleagues had come to the U.S. to remind us of Chernobyl on the occasion of the 25th anniversary in April 2011. Within the United Nations, WHO and IAEA, attempts had been made to use this anniversary to close the chapter on Chernobyl and to clear the way for the nuclear renaissance. Fukushima exploded while Manzurova and her colleagues were preparing their travel, and the 2 accidents were linked across time. Suddenly, it became much harder to deny the deadly consequences of nuclear power. Natalia Manzurova spoke in Berkeley on April 10, 2011. The Center for Safe Energy had asked Joanna Macy, longtime anti-nuclear activist, scholar of Buddhism, and author of books such as Pass It On, 5 Stories That Can Change the World, to give an introduction. Joanna Macy's best-known statement is, "The most remarkable feature of this historical moment on Earth is not that we are on the way to destroying the world. We've actually been on the way for quite a while. It is that we are beginning to wake up as from a millennium-long sleep to a whole new relationship to our world, to ourselves, and each other." End quote from Joanna Macy. What's better than a good dose of facts to end that long sleep? Here's Joanna's introduction for Natalia Manzurova, or Natasha, as she calls her friend.
25 years since that fateful late April day, Chernobyl has been a word and name a fact, a cloud in our heart, minds, and our imagination for a quarter century. That's just the tiniest micro fraction of the time that Chernobyl will endure. You know that. The thousands of years, the hundreds of millennia that Chernobyl will be alive in the radiation that it produced. So Chernobyl is forever, it feels like. And I'm also thinking that Chernobyl is everywhere. Those were the words that my husband, Fran Macy, said to me after an unforgettable week in an area contaminated by Chernobyl in the early 90s. The most irradiated, most contaminated city of its size that's still inhabited, Novozibkov in the Bryansk region. And I, as an anti-nuclear power activist since the mid-70s, I fell in love with those people for many reasons. The work that we did together, the quality of their perseverance, their love for life, their courage under fire. I fell in love with them, and it was hard to leave. And I remember standing in the open train door. Our friends, new friends, were down on the station platform, and I was crying. And Fran could see that, well, I guess I told him, how can I leave? I can go to where it's not contaminated. I can go back where it's safe, and these people have nowhere to go. And that seemed so monstrously unfair. And then Fran said to me, Joanna, Chernobyl is everywhere. And I'm feeling that now with you since Fukushima disaster began. And we know that it's going to continue a long time. We know that the spent and irradiated and fresh fuel rods there are not twice what there was at the Chernobyl reactor that blew, not five times, 10 times the volume and many times the radioactive heat in it because of their they've been used more, irradiated more. So I'm so glad that Ian had asked me to take part in this. And I do so with such a glad heart because these women here are heroes to me. I just look at them and I think how wonderful. I want all the future ones to know about Natalia Mironova and Natasha Manurova. They shine for me in their insight and in their courage and in their endurance. So I'm going to introduce Natasha Manurova. Both these women are from the Ural Mountains in the Chelyabinsk area, where the first secret nuclear cities were created when Stalin saw that we had the atom bomb, and so in order to catch up. And then when Chernobyl blew, Natasha Manurova was among those who was asked to go and take part in the cleanup. She was one of the hundreds of thousands of liquidators, as they are called. She was able to go because she was just over 30. They wouldn't let women under 30 near the reactor. And she was there for almost 5 years. I've been reading a lot about Chernobyl, but I have never read what it was like to work year after year in that radioactive hell. And it was sometime later that she got very sick. Dr. Manzarova organized a nonprofit organization called Chernobyl Union, which is defending the rights of the victims of radiation exposure. She has written several articles on radiation ecology, and I was very interested in what she told me about the other day about efforts to decontaminate or contain the contamination on agricultural lands that have been subjected to fallout. So this is a heroic woman of incredible experiences, both scientific acumen, and she is devoting her life to help working to contain the devastation that we humans have unleashed. And she's here to tell us about her experience. And I'm very grateful for Tatiana, who is going to be translating for her.
In 1957, the first radioactive accident happened at the nuclear facility Mayak, after which there was organized a closed, very secret scientific institute where I worked for 10 years. And the whole, all the scientists in the institute, they studied the impact of radiation into the environment, into the water, on the plants, the birds, animals. And nobody thought that we had one more big accident in front of us. And in 1986, the week after the Chernobyl happened, almost the whole institute was sent to liquidate this accident. When we were working, liquidating this accident, nobody could think that while more accident will happen, that is Fukushima, which is going on now. Every time we saw that it was the last one. But nobody learned either the first or the second or even now the third very big accident. All the investigations, all the examinations, all the studies are supposed to be closed. To make secret the number of victims and the number of those who were, who got health hazards and everything. When Fukushima happened, I thought that it was the second Chernobyl. And during a short period of time, following the development of the Fukushima accident, I just saw in a minute, I could see the film, like a film, what I experienced when Chernobyl happened. Here you can see how near to the atomic plant, nuclear plant, is the town of Pripyat. And the people who lived in the nearest apartment blocks were sitting on the benches in the yards and were watching how the reactor was burning. Nobody informed them. Nobody warned them. Nobody said to them that they should keep safe. The same is happening in Fukushima. They were told, sit at home and don't go out. Nobody informed them what great danger they are being exposed to. The government wanted to show that this place is not dangerous. The radiation was so high there that in some places people were not able to work at all. So the military trucks were sent there. They were operated from the distance. And everything that was so contaminated on the earth, on the surface of the earth, they pushed this into burial grounds. So they were measuring the radiation. where and how much the footprint was. We, together with our lab assistants, were going around the whole zone. We took samples of plants and the soil. Gave these samples to the laboratory to find out how much contamination was in here. The military equipment was the only equipment which was able to measure the real radiation, because the rest of the equipment just was broken because of the radiation. They were not supposed to measure this high radiation. The radioactive material from the reactor just exploded, and by explosion they were brought to the roof of the operation center where equipment was, and it started to burn.
И на эту крышу залезли пожарники и стали тушить.
So the firemen went up to the roof and started to put it out, the fire.
Это были первые жертвы, потому что они умерли.
They were the first real victims because they died.
Очень больших, с большими пулями, с большими
Very, very quickly, but with a lot of suffering, because they were exposed to these levels of radiation and they got acute radiation disease. The fire was put out, but we don't know why they decided to take all this radioactive debris from the roof. They put on this small tractor again, which was operated from the distance. It was able to go only once, and then it broke due to the radiation. It broke. Then just simple soldiers were ordered to go to the roof. And they were allowed to work 1 minute only on the roof. 1 minute.
Если по закону, по традиционному закону, положено человеку взять не больше 5 рентген.
You know that, no, it was at that time, according to the radiation law, it was allowed for one person to take not more than 5 рентген just once.
Для этой ситуации повысили в 5 раз.
They just raise the limit 5 times, make it 25 рентгенс. And the soldiers were in a line. They were to run up to the roof for 1 minute with their shovels. They were to just to put the one shovel from the roof to the ground, and they were to run back. And the dose, they were sent home. You see, they were just disposal. You see, they were sent home, and nobody was interested what became of them. And nobody knew what was going inside the reactor building. Then the management decided to send prisoners who were minors. And they said they would be released from prison earlier. If they would drill the wall, this wall, from the operation hall to the reactor. Through these holes in the wall, they insert special devices, just indicators and TV devices. All the trucks and equipment that worked in this 30-kilometer zone became very radioactive. Those who were exposed to very high doses of radiation, they were transported to Moscow. And you can see that he is behind the wall. The patient who is lying there, he became radioactive himself. And the doctor can just examine him only through this special plastic. They tried to transplant bone marrow from their relatives. They all died.
Вокруг атомной станции было очень много елового леса.
You see, around the nuclear plant there was pine forest.
И лес погиб от радиации.
And the pine forest just was destroyed by the radiation.
И он стал коричневого
цвета. It became of brown color.
Его назвали рыжим лесом.
We called it red. A red forest. And it became a very big source of radiation in itself. So the helicopters were circling above it. And they just poured special glue on the trees. Special glue. So as the radiation would not go by the wind.
В перспективе, вернее, позже были сделаны большие могильники.
Then huge trenches were made, that is, burial grounds were made.
И этот лес был полностью...
The forest, all the trees went into the ground because they were very highly radioactive.
Чернобыльская зона имеет 30 километров.
You know that Chernobyl zone is 30 kilometers in diameter.
Самый ближний город к атомной станции Припять.
Припять was 2 kilometers away from. 2 kilometers away from.
Вокруг него была еще более жестокая зона.
And that was a zone in a zone. Nobody was allowed into Припять.
Вот в Припяти у меня было находился мой офис, и там работал.
And my office was in Припять. My laboratory was in Pripyat. And on one of the buildings, there were in big letters, it was written. Each citizen of Pripyat will get new peaceful nuclear to their home. And that was just... electricity, it meant electricity. Peaceful nuclear means electricity. That's what happened.
Вот так выглядел детский сад, который нам отдали под лабораторию.
That's the photo of the former kindergarten, which was given to us for our laboratory.
Детей эвакуировали.
Children were evacuated.
Стенки были фотографии этих маленьких детей.
And there were photos of the small children on the wall.
Я еще тогда подумала.
And then I thought.
Как же сложится их жизнь в дальнейшем?
What will become of their life later? Where are they now? Everything that was inside the kindergarten, we were to put it into burial grounds, of course, and we cleaned it as we could and made a laboratory inside. At this moment, when I arrived in Pripyat, there were neither birds, nor animals, nor anything alive in Pripyat. And once we saw from the window that a hedgehog came to the building, and we started to pour it milk and give food. It was the first. Yes, we were so glad that there was a living creature outside. These doses of radiation that were after the accident. Yes, they affected the brain of the animals that were in the zone very much. The dogs who ran out of the deserted villages, foxes, wolves, then hogs, because of the radiation, they went mad. And they attacked people.
И было объявление, что никогда не ходить пешком.
Everybody was prohibited from walking, only going by bus or by car.
А через 20 лет я привезла американскую
20 years after Chernobyl, I brought in to Pripyat a delegation from the United States.
И мы зашли и увидели, что
And we saw a new pine tree which grew after the accident. And a bird on the stone.
And here,
that life just defeats the death.
And
after Fukushima, we should ask a question, what will win, peace or nuclear?
That was Natalia Manzurova, one of 800,000 liquidators. She worked for almost 5 years near the exploded reactor at Chernobyl. Her colleague Tatiana Mukhamedyarova did the translation. Natalia Manzurova is a radiation ecology expert and nuclear engineer who was ordered to the site of the accident in April 1986. She saw several of her colleagues die and is ill herself. A founder of Chernobyl Union, a support group for liquidators, she currently works with Planet of Hope. Planet of Hope is advocating for people exposed to radiation, such as downwinders, people living in radiation areas, and nuclear workers, a large and growing category of victims of the nuclear age. Natalia Manzurova spoke in Berkeley, California, on April 10, 2011, at an event organized by the Center for Safe Energy. She was introduced by Joanna Macy, author, teacher, and respected voice in movements for peace, justice, and ecology. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, TUCRadio.org, that's TUCRadio.org. Look under newest programs. TUC Radio has moved to Northern California. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. You can get information on how to order an audio CD of Chernobyl, Fukushima, and Onkolo by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or CD order keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654. For information on how to order, you can get your CD by mail or a credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.